Thanks, Kristen. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We hear all the time that the media landscape is changing and that journalism is struggling to survive.
Well, the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters is taking on that question tonight with a panel discussion about the future of investigative journalism.
Investigative journalism is often seen as the crown jewel of the media industry. It uncovers secrets, wins Pulitzers. So, what role is it going to play in the future?
The Wisconsin Academy's panel will be at 7 o'clock tonight at the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art. Bill Leaders, the Money and Politics Project Director for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, will be taking part in the event, and he's here with us now to talk about the future of his trade. The Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism partners with Wisconsin Public Radio. And Bill, thanks so much for coming into the studio today.
Good to be here again.
So we hear a lot that traditional media is struggling in this digital age, but what do you see as the biggest challenges facing investigative journalism in particular?
Well, investigative journalism is often long-form journalism. It's a journalism that takes longer to produce. Usually it involves a lot of research, a lot of digging, usually some document work, sometimes some number analysis and data analysis. It takes a long time to do, and it's more difficult for media organizations these days to devote resources to that type of reporting, which is why groups like ours, like the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, have come into being, because we provide some of the content to newspapers that can't devote that level of resources to this type of reporting anymore.
Well, we live in an era, too, when things seem to be getting increasingly bite-sized. People want news that they can digest quickly. Now, is that impacting the impact, I guess, and the staying power of investigative journalism?
Well, I think there's a place for long-form journalism and for investigative journalism. I think if you ask people, in fact, if you look at surveys of readers of newspapers, one of the things they'll invariably say they want is more investigative journalism, more long-form, in-depth journalism. And I think there is an audience for that. It's harder sometimes for people to devote attention to long stories than to short ones. But I think people do understand that there's value in a longer, more deeply researched piece of work.
Now, we had on Henry Blodgett, the CEO and editor-in-chief of Business Insider, not too long ago. And I don't know if you happened to see his piece, but he also went on a cable news show talking about how we are entering, he thinks, a golden age of journalism, and that the information is more widely accessible, more people are doing it, and there's lots of upsides and platforms. Do you share that view?
I do. I absolutely do. People talk all the time about how media organizations have gotten crunched, how newsrooms that used to have 70 reporters now have 30. And that's true. The size of news staffs has been cut back dramatically in all media, broadcast media and print media. I think one thing that's also happened is the journalists who remain have been forced to up their game. They work harder. They do a better job of providing more within a small amount of time. And technology, to some extent, allows us to do that. When I started off in this business, if I wanted 25, 30 years ago, if I wanted to find an article that ran in the local paper, say, 8 months before, that would meant biking over to the public library and looking it up in an index and then finding the microfiche and threading through the machine and then getting a printout of it. You know, would take an hour to do what you can now do in a couple of seconds with the access of the internet. And I think there's a lot of that. There's a lot of efficiencies that have been brought to the task of gathering and using information. And so reporters can do better. They can do more.
And yet you're talking about how there are fewer journalists in the newsroom. So does it make it less likely that, you know, young people are going to go into journalism and get trained and therefore less likely to produce, you know, another Woodward and Bernstein?
Well, I don't know. I think that the center is producing some Woodward and Bernsteins right now. I think our internship program shows that there are young people who are capable of being good and even great journalists, and that they're knocking on the door. They're looking for opportunities, and we can train them. We can make them realize their potential as journalists, as writers, as communicators, and they will go on to do great things.
What about making money? Because it seems like that's something that, you know, newspapers, look at the New York Times even, are struggling with. How do they make money off their content when it goes digital? And I would imagine that would be something that impacts investigative journalism particularly.
Well, we have to use a completely different model. We're not using the model of ordinary media, which is you sell advertising to support your activity and you sell subscriptions to support it to some extent. We give away our content to media across the state that want to use it, and we're entirely funded by donations and particularly grants. We're supported by people who see a value to investigative journalism, and that allows us to fill this niche that is out there in the market.
So is part of the answer more centers like yours across the country?
I think it is. There was that movie about the New York Times, I think it was Front Page, a few years ago, and it spoke specifically about the advent of the nonprofit investigative journalism centers being an increasingly important part of the new media terrain. There needs to be groups like ours to operate, you know, at the state level or at the level of within various interest groups that want to do this type of reporting, and they're thriving. They're springing into being in abundance, and many of them are doing well. I think the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism is doing particularly well. We've grown steadily. We have a tremendous amount of reach and impact, and the future looks bright.
And yet the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism was in the news this summer because of its proposed removal from the UW system in the past budget. Now, that didn't come to pass, but was that seen as a blow to the center? How did you interpret it from where you are?
Well, you can look at it a couple of ways. You can look at it as a largely unfair and unfortunate attack that was predicated on misunderstanding or ignorance. And that's not a good thing. I mean, that was a very dispiriting thing to happen, particularly to be dragged into this this issue and into somebody's ideological battlefield. I found that very, very dispiriting and unfortunate. On the other hand, we received tremendous outpouring of support, literally from all over the country, from journalist organizations and from media outlets throughout the state. Dozens of people weighed in from the University of Wisconsin system and our colleagues in the media, our partners. They all rallied very strongly to our defense, and in the end, Governor Walker vetoed the provision that would have kicked us out of the University of Wisconsin, and we think that was the right thing to do.
Got a question here from Willem in Colfax, who wants to know, how has corporate sponsorship of media impacted investigative journalism?
Well, corporate sponsorship isn't a part of our funding. We don't receive any money from any corporations.
But more broadly?
More broadly, I think that there is a need for media to focus in on how giving by corporations distorts the process, whether it's the political process or whether it's the academic and scientific process, or in some cases, the journalist process. If you're talking about corporate ownership of media, these are influences that affect the media and affect all other aspects of society. I think we're relatively free from those influences, and that's one of the advantages that we have. We're not beholden to any corporation.
Can you give me a sense about how many centers like yours there are across the country?
I believe there's about 50. I could be wrong on
maybe
that.
Maybe one in each state? Or
yeah,
there,
many of them are state-based, and some of them are oriented around particular issues that you know, that they want to do an investigation on.
Well, moving to how the media is doing right now, as a watcher and a journalist, how would you rate the media's performance lately when it comes to covering some of the big issues of the day, like Syria, evolving conflicts in the Middle East, climate change? What do you think when you sit back and look?
I'm proud to be a journalist. I think that my colleagues in the media do a terrific job. We do have less time sometimes to do stories than we once did. We sometimes have constraints that we didn't once have to contend with. But I think we've, by and large, risen to the occasion and maintained our professionalism and continue to provide something of value to our society.
And Bill, about 30 seconds. Any advice you'd give young journalists out there?
Work hard. learn the craft and work hard at it. You're going to get better by doing it. And that's the only way you're going to get good at it.
All right. Well, Bill Leaders, thank you so much for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Bill Leaders, Money and Politics Project Director for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. And that panel discussion about investigative journalism will be held at the Wisconsin, held by the Wisconsin Academy of Arts, Letters, and Science. That's tonight, 7 o'clock, at the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we'll talk about the realities of working-class adulthood in an age of uncertainty.
We'll also hear why we need quiet to think clearly in today's noisy world.
And we'll learn how museums are making the leap to the online world.
Tune in tomorrow. That's all coming up on Central Time.
Coming up after the news, we'll talk about the science behind modern-day attempts at immortality. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.